Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
I'm John Larson. I'm the lead consultant with TechServe Alliance. I provide mergers and acquisition services to our membership. And in addition to that, I also do consulting with senior executives in primarily IT staffing companies in the United States.
That's super exciting, John. And thanks so much for making time to join us on the Ivy Podcast. Before we dive in and talk about all the great stuff you're currently building, give us a thumbnail version of your career prior to that.
My career really is twofold. My first was a sales career, and I was selling computer systems throughout the country. So that was number one. And then in 1997, I got into the IT staffing industry. And since 1997, I've been president of three different IT staffing companies. And then the last one, the owner wanted to sell the company. And as a result of that, I was able to acquire that company. So I had my own company, joined with a partner. We built that organization. We made three acquisitions while we owned it. And then in August of 19, we sold that company to a large national IT staffing company. So that's been my career. So I've been an owner operator, been a president, been a partner, have acquired and have sold. So I've kind of gone through the full life cycle of the IT staffing industry.
Well, that's super exciting and very diverse career. Appreciate you sharing that with us. So tell us a little bit more about your current work that you do with TechServe Alliance.
Okay, with TechServe, Mark Roberts, who's the CEO of TechServe, had an idea a couple of years ago. And we're about providing additional services for our membership. And one of those services we thought we could help with was being a mergers and acquisition, really helping that owner who is going through that process of, should I sell? What is my business valuation? You know, what's it worth? And how do I potentially sell or exit the business? And so we created a service offering, and it's a couple of components to that. We provide a valuation service, a very low cost of entry, and then we've got a different type of model, and we provide services through that model for our membership. And I say our membership, sometimes it's not the only members, but we do focus in the IT staffing industry. We know staffing pretty well. And I have deep knowledge within the IT space.
And for how long you've been with TechServe Alliance for now?
Actually, it's been about 18 months. It was kind of interesting. I was retired after I sold my business, and I made one mistake, and I answered Mark Roberts' phone call. So he said, John, I have this idea. And Mark and I have known each other for some time. I do serve on the board of directors of TechServe also. I've been on the board about 5 years now. And so he said, I have an idea. I think your expertise could help me. And so we developed that. And last year, we brought it into the marketplace in February of 21. And it's kind of taken off from there.
Got it. Well, that's super exciting. I've been to a few TechServe Alliance events, and it's definitely always an insightful opportunity to learn all of the things that are going on in the industry, in technology, combined with staffing and recruitment, which leads me to a further question I wanted to ask you. With having spent quite a few years in yourself in the staffing space and now being involved with TechServe Alliance, I would imagine you do a lot of research in terms of the different trends that are shaping up the industry and where just the overall markets are going towards to. Share with us, to the extent that you can, some of the trends that you personally are very excited about.
Well, I think the most exciting trend really is an outgrowth of the pandemic. It's very difficult in many situations, but as we look at that, there's also an opportunity. which is often the case when there's a downturn or some type of difficult business situation. And I think the most exciting trend is the remote work aspect. I talk to people all over the country and they talk about, okay, my lease is up for renewal. I'm not sure if I should or I'm not going to. Nearly everybody I talk to has gone to either a virtual environment where everybody's remote or some combination of flex schedule. They may still retain an office. They're going to have it a few days a week. And, you know, people can come and go, or maybe they want them in the office a few days. So I see that as a definite trend. And I think 6 months ago, everyone was kind of wondering, what's going to happen? What's going to be the outcome? And I believe that we're now beginning to stabilize, and we're beginning to see the fact that, okay, people are productive. I have to admit, I was probably of the old school. I like everybody in the office, you know, camaraderie, and there's a lot to be learned and shared by being in an office environment. So I was probably one of those individuals kind of, oh man, can it really work? You know, are people going to be productive, et cetera? So, and as a result of that, we are seeing more and more companies embrace that in some form. I won't say totally virtually necessarily, but in some form. But I think the most exciting part of that, we talk about that, but also the ability of the small staffing company really to support a broader audience. So previously, the staffing company, oftentimes the smaller companies, they were bound by geography. They were bound by that brick and mortar. You know, their sphere of influence was their local community or city or maybe state or region. But now those shackles, they're gone. So as a result of that, these smaller companies, they can support their clients. And that's what it's about. Can they support their clients and their consultants on a much broader base and much broader scale? And now you can recruit from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world for that matter. And same thing is happening on the client side, where they're saying, well, you know, we really want that consultant in-house, you know, in the seat. And they're naturally realizing there's an opportunity to get very good talent that's not localized or not in the local environment. And so to me, that opportunity for the small company to compete on a much larger scale and being able to attract consultants from around the world, and internally being able to attract salespeople and recruiters and other support staff, you know, in a much broader array of talent, as that's really, really exciting. I think it's an opportunity for many, many staffing owners.
Yes, absolutely. That's definitely relevant, especially to everything that's going on in the markets these days. So I appreciate you sharing some of that. And to take that a little bit further, as you research some of these trends further and you consult and talk to other organizations that maybe do a better job at retaining the top talent than the other organizations, what are some of the characteristics that you observe that they develop or they foster in order to be able to not only attract but retain very unique and highly demand tech talent?
John, you're hitting on a really, really important topic. Because retaining that talent is so critical today. And as we know, there's a lot of movement. Because of the remote scenario, people have other options. They have more options than they've ever had before. So being able to retain that talent is critical, whether it's your internal staff or consultants that you have supporting your clients. And I think it's, you know, sometimes people say, well, they're going to move for a few dollars, and they might. We see some of the movement, you know, across the country, and there is the wages are pretty substantial. But I think more importantly than that, how you retain that individual is through that personal connection. And that begins from the early stages of engagement, whether it's a consultant or your internal staff, and being able to engage with that person, understand the driver behind that individual. What is it that they're looking for that you can provide as an organization, whether, like I said, whether it's internal or external? So in doing so, yes, you have to be competitive from your wage and your benefit arena. So that's kind of that's the starting point. That's the base point. Beyond that, you have to understand the individual. What are they looking for? It may be lifestyle that they're looking for. It may be that it's a situation where they want to move from want to move from recruiting to sales or sales to recruiting even, or they want to be more in a client supporting role or customer support role. So making sure you understand it. It may be personal development. What are we doing to help that individual develop themselves personally, whether it's from a technical standpoint, you know, what can we do from a professional development standpoint in order to encourage that person to stay with the company and know that they're valued? People really want to know and feel. Part of it's kind of hate to use that word sometimes, but there's an emotional aspect to it, being connected, whether it's to the team, you know, to the company, to the clients they work with. So there's an emotional connection there also. So being able to understand that and build a plan. So that's the other part. Oftentimes we talk to individuals, but we don't build the plan to support that. So as a business owner, you have to be able to say, okay, we're going to do this year. You know, and naturally there's some time constraints, maybe there may be financial constraints, whatever it happens to be, but you work that and understand, also helping the individual understand that that's a benefit that you're providing, and there may be a back-end cost to it, but how can you help them develop professionally and grow in their career? I think that's probably the number one area that you can retain staff. Probably the other part is with our consultants is making sure that they're on projects, not just from a financial standpoint, but something that excites them. What has helped, how are they developing as individuals? And part of our job as a staffing industry is to make sure that we're doing a very appropriate job of making that connection with our hiring managers, you know, and with the type of business that that they're in and that development process. And it may be project management, maybe software development, whatever it happens to be, but that's part of our responsibility, and it provides a little bit of glue there. And I think the other part is figuring out ways that we can continue to engage. I'm a big believer in video. You know, we take 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it wasn't around. 5 years ago, it was maybe leading edge, and we didn't necessarily have the technology. But today we have the opportunity that we can connect in a very visceral way. You know, it's really strong way to connect with people. And that's even more important than ever in this new environment that we find ourselves in.
Right, absolutely. And perhaps you and I could spend the rest of the episode talking about this particular space, because it's so interesting and challenging at the same time, with organizations facing the very similar problems in the current market conditions. I think that's fascinating. When it comes to the evolution of, we've seen freelance platforms, contingent workforce models have been on the rise in the past couple of years. What are your thoughts on organizations being able to scale utilizing such models as part of their hiring strategy?
I think if they're not using them, they're missing the boat on a great opportunity. There's really a breadth of very good skilled talent that is in, I'll say, the gig economy. As an example, I use Upwork myself. Upwork is one of the gig platforms out there. And we use Upwork for some analytical back office work. I get very good connection with them, good talent, good responsiveness, reasonable rate. So we use it ourselves, and we're in the industry. So I would really encourage clients and you know, others to be using these alternative work platforms. You know, there are individuals on those platforms. It may be supplemental to, you know, a full-time, you know, position. It may be their full-time position. They may choose, many of them have chosen a career that says, okay, I don't want to be with a single organization. I want to support, you know, three or four or five organizations with the particular skills and knowledge that I have. And sometimes that's very deep as far as the skills and knowledge. So there's an opportunity there, I think, for companies really to avail themselves and, I say, put some afterburners on or expand the bandwidth. To bring on a very good talent that has deep content knowledge, number one, it's expensive. Number two, it takes a lot of time to find the right person. That's a real challenge. So if I have a way with a variable platform, a gig platform, that's able to supplement that, you know, and it may be just for this particular project, I'm under the gun for responsiveness, or, you know, to produce whatever the product happens to be. The talent is there. And it also goes back to the remote piece, not only this gig economy, but also the fact that you can find talent anywhere in the globe. It's really a phenomenal opportunity, I think, for businesses today to scale their current operations. And you can do it incrementally. That's the good part about it, especially your small business, that it's more challenging for them to bring on that full-time resource. If I can do that in an incremental fashion as I continue to grow, then it works great. And it's not unlike, I see a few staff, I don't see a lot, but I see a few staffing companies today where it's totally virtual. They started that way and they continue to operate and very successfully, and they're growing, they're scaling. And, you know, that's kind of an offshoot of what the, I'll say that a gig platform would allow for you to do. So there's some good ones out there that I think people should be using in order to really enhance your productivity, enhance the service level to your clients. And naturally, there's a financial component to it also.
Right. Absolutely. And it's also very interesting to me to understand, well, more from a spectrum of interviewing. I've been on three sides of the equation, I guess, where I've been a candidate or consultant myself. I've been a hiring manager for quite some time, and I've also spent time on the staffing side where I helped organizations find the right talent. So I have three different perspectives when it comes to interviewing. Share your thoughts on that. How can really organizations and hiring managers improve that space, and candidates themselves too? Because I've observed a more of a shift towards what are the weaknesses we can tolerate in that particular candidate versus the strengths that are missing on our team, and not really creating that two-way street of a conversation between the two. Share your thoughts on that from an interview standpoint.
I've lived a lifetime of this. I've been interviewing all of my life, and I always thought that, okay, I'll get better at this as I mature, or as I'm in the business longer, I'll get better and I'll be able to pick out that right candidate right from the get-go and not make as many errors. And I guess I'm a slow learner. That's all I can figure out, that it's been a challenge. But I do believe that there's some things that we can do in order to improve that. One is, I think the video is an excellent way. And I remember early on, naturally, all the phone conversations, I had a phone interview first. Well, stop that. Go directly to a video engagement. I think that's the kind of a basic first step that we can do. And understand the dynamics of that video interview. It's a little different than in person, but there's some components to it that are just as important from a physical standpoint, from your electronic setup. Being on video every day like I am, and I'm sure like you are, I see good situations and not so good situations need to be improved, whether it's the camera, whether it's the voice, whatever it happens to be. So pay attention to that. But within that, I think a structured interview process is important. So naturally, from a consistency standpoint, and plus having multiple people do multiple interviews. I think it's important to have different individuals in your organization interview a candidate. So that's one basic step that some people forget. They say, well, I'm the hiring manager. I'm going to make the decision. So I tell folks when I interview, oftentimes when I was interviewing for my business, I would, being the president or owner, a candidate automatically thinks, well, this is the decision maker, right? That's what we're taught all of our lives. If they're the CEO or owner, they're the decision maker. And I would tell people that, no, I was very clear in the interview. I'm here in support of the hiring manager. I'm here in support of the person that you're going to work for. And I would tell them, I said, I'm not the decision maker. I am an influencer. And I guess upon occasion, I might have veto power, but which I don't know that I ever used, because the objective there is for the manager to make that final decision. So being able to explain that. I think the other part, and I'm going to shift to the candidate for just a second here. From the candidate side, sometimes you look at this litany of questions and so forth. I'm a big believer personally in psychometric testing. So I've always used, I say always, for many, many years, I've used some type of testing. Not everybody believes in it. I happen to believe in it and believe that it gives a foundation that you can work from. It's not right or wrong or the only answer, but I do believe in it. So that's one piece that I think can be of value to an organization. From a candidate standpoint, you think of these questions. Well, I have the non-questions or the non-items, and I look for two or three items in an interview and after the interview. Number one, in the interview, I'm looking for passion. I want to understand that this person is passionate about not necessarily what you're doing or the job, but are they passionate about something? Are they passionate about life? Are they passionate about, a new opportunity and the experience? So I'm looking for passion in that interview process. So that's one thing. After the interview, I'm looking, do they follow up? I've had hundreds and hundreds of interviews in my lifetime, and from people wanting jobs, that kind of thing. I can't tell you, the number that follow up is definitely in the minority. So do they follow up is really important. Here's the most important part of any interview that I have with a candidate. Do they ask for the job? It's actually pretty rare that a candidate is in an interview, and as you get towards the end, sometimes they'll ask about the next steps, or, what can I expect? Those types of things, what should I do? And I don't prompt them at all. I want somebody to say, am I the best fit for this job? When can I start work? This looks like an opportunity for me. I'm excited about joining your organization. I want them to ask for the job. If they don't ask for the job, I will tell you, they slid way down. And even if I'm not the hiring manager, I'm going to make sure that that's understood in the organization. So that's kind of a snapshot of the interview process and a couple of things that I look for.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, it's a very complicated space, and it's a skill that continues to evolve as you get better with, interviewing many candidates and looking for opportunities and things like that. So that's always exciting. With TechServe providing the platform for, large convergence of IT staffing experts and IT professionals and an opportunity for them to network and learn from each other, what other avenues or opportunities can you maybe perhaps highlight for IT staffing practitioners to be able to network and build on that expertise within each other?
Well, I think there are a few that people should be using. One is local networking. And from a local standpoint, in TechServe, there are a few chapters around the country where you've got local IT staffing companies that come together. But I know in other organizations, other staffing parts of the industry, there are local organizations. So I would encourage you to join or attend and support that local community. And I've heard the argument over the years, well, I don't want my competitor to know what I'm doing, you know, but I can, in my years, that has never been an issue. And some of my competitors have become, you know, good friends of mine. And naturally, that doesn't mean we don't want to beat each other on the, you know, on any particular deal. But that's not what you discuss. You have a lot in common, and you have a lot of the same business issues. So to me, if we can encourage each other and support each other and learn from each other, that improves, enhances the whole industry. So I think that's one important part. The second thing that I would encourage business owners is to be part of a roundtable of some sort. And I know over the years, I was part of, you know, CEO roundtables of various types. And usually these are small groups, you know, 8, 10, 12 business owners or senior executives that meet a few times a year. But it gives you number one, it gives you a place to meet, and depending upon the operation, you know, you can share some pretty interesting information. I was part of one group. We shared everything down to financials, our productivity, our financials, and we held each other accountable. Now, we were not, it was designed so that we were not in a local territory. We were not direct competitors at that point in time. But it was very open as far as the dialogue that took place and the discussions we had, and accountability. So it's an accountability measure. And oftentimes as a business owner, you're on an island by yourself. You know, yes, you may have a significant other, you might have a business partner, but oftentimes you're by yourself. And so you really, it gets lonely there sometimes. And there's some topics that you can't discuss internally, or other people don't understand. So having that forum to do that, I think, is very important. It will help you as an owner, operator, manager, you know, over a time period. And then naturally, I think national associations, I take TechServe, but I know they're, you know, ASA, there are other very good national associations that are available. In TechServe particular, you know, I've been with it for over 20 years, 25 years. And the services that they have available and the knowledge that's available within that organization is phenomenal. It will leapfrog your organization by a number of years rather than learn it yourself. It'll save you a tremendous amount of money. And when I say a tremendous amount of money, from the mistakes that you would make without being part of the organization. And I've always found the investment, whatever the financial investment is, that's paid many times over. And so I would highly encourage you to be, you know, a member of whatever association is affiliated with your particular staffing segment.
Those are great recommendations, John. I will make those titles and links available in the episode notes. What's your content diet looking like these days? What are you consuming on a daily basis to keep yourself informed and educated on all the things going on in your industry?
Well, naturally, talking to people all over the country, I talk to business owners every day. So, and I learn something every day. It's a good, when I learn something, that's a good day. And I'm never failed to be pleasantly surprised by what business owners information provide me with. I do a lot on the internet. Naturally, I'm doing research. I'm using the internet on a day-to-day basis, usually within the industry. So I take a look at that. I'm still, I get a number of electronic forms, but I enjoy the magazine. You know, we go back to the old days, you know, the periodicals and so forth, but there are a number of go-to. So I've been a subscriber for Harvard Business Review for many years. And to me, it's a good institution, and it provides a consistent strength of knowledge from a management standpoint, business operations standpoint, not necessarily in the staffing industry, human capital world, but across the board. But you learn from that and you adapt that to your particular industry. So Harvard Business Review is probably number one. I read Fortune, I read Inc., I read Entrepreneur Magazine, I read Wired. So that's my content kind of on a consistent basis. And then sometimes I'll add a new one and change it up. But there's in any article, or not in any article, but many articles you read, there's something you can pull out and say, oh, that relates to me. Or there's a lot on people, on managing in general, financial acumen. So there are many, many different ways. And sometimes it sparks a brand new idea. Fast Company. I love Fast Company. You know, if you look at that magazine, you know, they've got design features, they've got innovation features, you know, so it's really a way to kind of get your mind thinking and keep you fresh and say, okay, how can I use that in my business? You know, how can I adapt? How can I change, you know, going forward? So that's my content consumption, you know, daily, weekly, monthly.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Great resources. And last but not least, John, in terms of books, what are you currently reading, or is there a book that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
Well, there are two. The first one is an older book. It's Harvey Beckwith, and it's Selling the Invisible. And it's a book that I read many years ago as I transitioned from selling tangible products into selling services. And so it gave me a good foundation. So that's kind of one that I go back to. But I will tell you the one that I always use is Any Work by Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker is just one of the mainstays of management philosophy, you know, over many, many, many years. And there's a compilation of his books or articles and stuff. It's a body of work. And in fact, I have it here. It's called The Daily Drucker. And it gives an insight every day. And I find that it's always fresh. You know, the book may be 15 years old, but as I take a look at it, I said, okay, well, this pertains to this situation. Yeah, whether it's personnel, whether it's management, whether it's finance, I think Drucker just has one of the greatest bodies of work that's been consistent over the years. There are a lot of new authors, and Jim Collins has done some great work in his research. So there are many people out there. I think the more important part, or as important, it's not whether it's Drucker or Beckwith or whoever, but the fact that you're continually learning. I think being a continuous learner should be the stake you put in the ground, whether it's as a young person, you know, as a manager, as a business owner. That's the stake in the ground. How can I continue to improve myself? How can I continue to learn about my business? And I say business, but how can I continue to learn about people, management? And it's not only in the business life, but oftentimes that flows into the personal life. And how do I bring that balance to bear so that I can be a more productive individual and really enjoy what I'm doing? You know, how can I continue to have the passion that I do every day? And you need that input in order to accomplish that.
Right. Absolutely. That's, you know, those are very powerful and motivational observations and thoughts, John. I can't thank you enough for your time today. It was very short and insightful conversation. I personally learned quite a bit. So definitely looking forward to staying in touch. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity very much. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.